May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The text this morning is drawn from the 13th chapter of John as we continue to consider three words of truth. This morning's words of truth drawn from chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Thus far the text. History tells us that somewhere close to 100 years after Jesus passed, somewhere around 133 AD, a pagan philosopher wrote to Hadrian, the Roman emperor at the time, and he made the following observation: "Falsehood is not found among them, and they love one another, and they don't hesitate to honor widows, and they rescue the orphans who are being abused. The one who has gives to the one who lacks, without bragging about it. And when they meet a stranger, they take him into their homes and rejoice over him as if he were a brother. And if there is among them any that is poor and needy, and if they have no spare food themselves, they will fast 2 or 3 days just so they can have something to share with the one lacking food. They observe the teachings of their Messiah with much care, living justly and soberly, as the Lord their God has commanded them." What a powerful testimony those early Christians left with regards to the faith and the hope that they bore in their hearts that was living within sight of them. This is the thing above all things, except maybe the fact that they were willing to die for their faith, that unbelieving Greeks and Romans noticed about them. See how they love each other. In keeping with our Lenten theme, wherein we look at three words of truth, it is these three words of Jesus in the text today that capture our imagination and attention. Three words that summarize our entire Christian life, what it is about. We are to love one another, and that because he first loved us. These words come from the lips of our Lord Jesus just a few hours before he was arrested, put on trial, and hung on the cross. There he would show us and the whole world what real love is all about. And then he would give us to live that very same love for each other. That's what Jesus came for. The Bible tells us that God lives in bliss and harmony, in heaven, in inexorable light. He lives in a place where there is no pain and no suffering, no sorrow, no brokenness. There are no problems, no heartache, no heartbreak. So we have to ask ourselves the question, why on earth would he come to earth? Why would he want to be a part of this? He who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who has no beginning and end, who is eternal, why would he enter into time and space? Why would he enter into this space of all spaces? He needs nothing from us for his happiness. He doesn't need anything from you or for me. Bottom line, he doesn't need us, much less to become one of us and to live among us. Quite to the contrary, it is us who need him. And graciously, the Word of God offers us this kind of love, this love that we can hardly begin to grasp. We confess it many Sundays in the Nicene Creed, that it was for us and for our salvation that he came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. Adam would plunge the world into sin and death. But when sin and death came upon all because all sinned, God didn't hesitate. He didn't hesitate once. He immediately had a plan. He had a salvation plan. He would send his own beloved Son into the world to teach and to heal, to comfort and to instruct, to be despised himself and to be rejected. And Jesus didn't hesitate either. For by being the man of sorrows and the sheep that was led to the slaughter for the sins of the world, he would bring glory to the Father above. But above all, he would experience the joy of saving his people for an eternity of happiness in his kingdom. I was lost, but he found me. I was dead in transgression and sin, but he made me alive. I was born an object of God's wrath, but in Christ Jesus, he would take my sin and he would clothe me with his personal righteousness. In his great mercy, because he was under no obligation whatsoever to do any of this, he delivered us from sin and death and hell. This is love. John writes in another place, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin." St. Paul writes as well, "God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This is love. And it's only the half of it. Later, Jesus would tell them, just a few verses after our text today, Jesus would tell these very same disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." He would come and take us to be with him. But until then we go forward. Until he comes to take us, we go forward with a new life. We go forward with a new life in Christ. We go forward to love one another. A new command, Jesus calls it, which really, if you're honest, sounds a little bit strange because, I mean, after all, Jesus himself had taught, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." You see, on the surface, there's really nothing new about it. God's law from the very beginning was all about love. Love of God, love of neighbor. There's nothing new about Jesus' command to love one another. It has been there in the scripture from the get-go, except for this, that there is a new standard for this love. There is a new standard for this love. We are no longer called upon just to get up on our own effort and to try and figure out what this love is all about. What is new is that Jesus' command comes with a new standard, his love. What is new is that it comes with a new motivation and a new power and a new source of strength for carrying it out. Love one another as I have loved you. This is how our Savior beckons us, his children, to live in love. His Spirit at work in us. His Spirit, not appealing to our spirit, but appealing to his Spirit. His Spirit that he would pour out on us. It's really amazing, isn't it? I know you've seen it oftentimes. You've seen your children, maybe your grandchildren, imitate parents. We like to laugh at that. It's a funny thing. You can get them to imitate just about anything that you are doing. They love to learn how to tie shoes and read a book and eat their cereal in the morning without spilling it all over themselves. They love to make faces, imitate your sounds. Of course, they also learn other things. Maybe you're familiar with that song, that country western song. I'm watching you, Dad. Ain't it cool? I'm your buckaroo. I want to be just like you. Except, well, there's the words that we sometimes speak to each other. The ones that we're embarrassed about. The ones that we just fling flippantly. But we're awfully embarrassed when they say it in front of the people that we know. And there are the things that we do to each other. They imitate those things too. And we parents kind of grimace a little bit when we hear it, don't we? Because we realize that the example that we have set for our children with regards to love isn't perfect. We aren't perfect role models for our children. We live in these last days when, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most grows cold. We limit our love. If we're really honest, we limit our love. We put restrictions on our love. We put conditions on our love. We say we love, but we dictate the time and the place when we're going to actually do it. And then we have kind of a half-hearted love. I'll love if you love me. I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine. It's kind of half-hearted, half-directed. God help us. But then he does, doesn't he? Every day that we confess our sin and we humbly hang our head, he's right there. God help us, he does. He's there to assure us that we are his dear forgiven children. But even more, he's not just there to forgive us, but he is there to help us deal with mercy and grace just as he has dealt with us. He is not just there to forgive us, but he is there to help us live that love anew, again and again and again. What is it that Paul wrote to the Galatians? He says, I have been crucified with Christ so that it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He gave himself. And now he lives to give his Spirit, just like he promised. A Spirit of power and of love and of self-control. 2 Timothy chapter 1. The fruits of that Spirit being love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Bottom line, my friends, Jesus doesn't just add a new command that he can pile up on top of a whole long list of laws that continue to burden our conscience. Out of love for us, he would give us, he would actually live inside of us, you understand, that we might live out these words of truth. Love one another. He would give us to love one another just as he gave himself in love for us. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and his love. Amen. Please take out the white card in front of you today if you would fill it out. If you're visiting with us today, we're very happy to have you with us. We hope you feel welcome. And if you'd like to learn a little bit more about Christ Lutheran, you can indicate that on the card. If you'd like us to call you, you can check that off there. Leave us a phone number. We'd be happy to share with you a little bit about what we're doing here at Christ Lutheran. And as you fill that out, please turn it over. And we pray together the call to Christian fellowship on the back. Dear Father in heaven, we have gathered together in Christian fellowship to worship you. We've confessed our sins, and we thank you for your forgiveness. We've sung praises to you and listened to your holy word. Help us now to return to our homes and families, filled with your Holy Spirit. Give us the courage to love others as you love us. And by our words and actions, make us your witnesses here on earth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We gather our gifts for the Savior.